Good morning and welcome to this week's edition of Building on the Rock, produced by St. Peter's Lutheran Congregation of Fond du Lac, located at 1600 South Main Street. Our congregation has had the privilege of serving our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ since 1858. You are invited to worship with us every Sunday morning at 7:45 or 10 o'clock, or every Thursday night at 6:30. St. Peter's serves Jesus Little Lambs with a kindergarten through 8th grade Lutheran Elementary School and supports Winnebago Lutheran Academy. We invite you to take advantage of the many opportunities that St. Peter's provides to help you build your life on the rock-solid foundation of Jesus and His Word. For more information, call us at 922-1160 or visit us on the web at www.stpetersfdl.net. May God bless you as together we continue building on the rock.
Welcome to St. Peter's. Welcome to our guests and visitors with us tonight. Please take a moment to fill out a visitor card. They're located in the back of your worship pews. You can just put them in the offering plate later on in the service. Tonight, as we gather for worship, we are reminded that the final harvest is coming and that Jesus Christ is, will come again to judge the living and the dead. Invite the congregation to please arise as we continue this evening on page 15 in the front part of your hymnals, page 15 with the order of the common service. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed You in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve Your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. At this time, the congregation will be seated for our scripture lessons. They are printed out for you beginning on page 2 of your worship bulletin. The first lesson from the prophet Joel, chapter 3, beginning at verse 12. Centuries before Christ's birth, the prophet foretold the coming of Judgment Day. Let the nations be roused. Let them advance into the valley of Jehoshaphat, which means the Lord has judged. For there I will sit to judge all the nations on every side. Swing the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, trample the grapes, for the winepress is full and the vats overflow. So great is their wickedness. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and moon will be darkened and the stars no longer shine. The Lord will roar from Zion and thunder from Jerusalem. The earth and the sky will tremble. But the Lord will be a refuge for His people, a stronghold for the people of Israel. This is the word of our Lord. Following up with our New Testament lesson from 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, thinking about the coming of Judgment Day, rather than living for evil human desires, we live for the will of God as we await the second coming of our Savior from sin. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They think it strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to men in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. This is the word of our Lord. We now continue by confessing our Christian faith according to the words of the Apostles' Creed. It's printed for you on page 19 of your worship, of your Christian hymnals. The Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be due from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Dear Christian friends, sometimes you probably don't understand why you just keep doing the things you do. Sometimes it just happens, you just try to do the same things over and over and over again and expecting a different result. Every year, I plant a garden. And every year, it's a lesson in humility. Right? At the beginning of the season, when people ask me, "So, Pastor, how's your garden going?" I say, "Good, everything's sprouting up, everything's nice, lush, and green." And then as time passes, I realize why everything is nice, lush, and green. It's because I've been growing mostly weeds. And so now when people ask me, "How's your garden going?" I simply say, "Not so good." At first, when I planted everything, I really couldn't tell as all the plants were coming up together, which were the weeds and which were the plants, and wasn't until later on that the thistles and the thorns began to grow that you could tell which is which, but by then it was too late. For to go out and to try to pull up the weeds now meant I was probably going to pull up all the good plants in the process. And so I finally figured out and decided just let them both grow together, harvest the good crops that I can, and then when the end of the season comes, just plow everything under. Last week, we talked about the parable of the sower and his seed. That just as the farmer goes out to sow his seed and that seed falls upon different soils, so also the word of God, as it is sown upon this world, falls upon different hearts. Last week, we talked about the different reactions that people have to the word of God. Tonight, in our text, Jesus gives us the second half of the story, with the parable of the weeds. A parable in which Jesus describes the Christian as he goes about living in an unbelieving world. If If you take a look at your text, it's printed there as the gospel lesson on page 3 from Matthew chapter 13. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed his good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" The act of sowing weeds among wheat was a very real threat. In fact, for a person to commit this act of sowing weeds among wheat was considered to be a great act of revenge and severely punishable under Roman law. In fact, in many third world countries, even today, if you wanted to make a threat against your neighbor, you would go to him and say, "Watch out, or I'll sow bad seed in your field." And this bad seed, if you're an arborist, you would know it by its Latin name of Lolium temulentum. But if you speak English, you probably know it better by the name the bearded darnel. It was a very destructive weed that when it matured, it produced these very dark and poisonous seeds that when mixed with the good plants, it endangered the whole crop. The only problem was is that you never would know that this bearded darnel was even sown in your field until it was too late. For when it would sprout and grow, it would look like the plants. Only after it would mature and sprout and form its seeds would then you know what happened. But by then, it would be too late because this bearded darnel would have already hitched itself to the wheat and entangled its roots with the roots of the weeds. And then to go out and to try to pull up the bearded darnel meant you would pull up the good wheat in the process. And thus Jesus said, "Let them both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 1st collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" When eventually the time of the harvest would come, it would be a very long and tedious process as the harvesters would go out and one by one separate the golden kernels of wheat from the dark and poisonous kernels of the weeds. But how happy that farmer must have been when it was all over to finally bring the good wheat and kernels into his barn and then to just take those weeds and tie them in bundles and throw them into the fire to be burned. Jesus would then go on and explain this parable to his disciples. The farmer was Jesus himself. And his good seed were his people, the people of God who follow him, who have been planted upon this earth. The one who sows the bad seed is the devil, and his seed is the unbelievers who with the believers must live side by side with until the final harvest. And when the day of that final judgment comes, it would be the harvesters, the angels of God, who will go out and one by one separate the golden hearts of faith from the dark and poisonous hearts of unbelief. There to rejoice as the believers are gathered and brought into the kingdom of heaven, and very sorrowful, the unbelievers then to be destroyed into the fires of hell. And then Jesus said, "He who has ears, let him hear." Back in the 1400s, 1500s, the monasteries and the nunneries were very popular. They were popular amongst many Christians. Many Christians thought that by going into these monasteries and nunneries, they could recluse themselves and conceal themselves away from the evils of the world. That by entering these solitary and most holy places, they could somehow escape the unrighteousness and ungodliness that was lurking outside the monastery or nunnery walls. May have started out with those good intentions, but the reality is that sin is everywhere. And there are no walls that the devil cannot penetrate and bring his ungodliness and his attacks on faith. How nice it would be, if we could just take our families and just lock us and our children away in our homes, never to go outside and face the ungodliness of this world. How safe and secure we could just be. But the reality is that as Christians, and as we live in this world, we will live side by side with unbelievers. We live side by side with unbelievers at our children's baseball games and their basketball games. As we sit and we hear bitterness and profanity come from their mouths about the calls that the refs make, we live side by side with unbelievers who at work aren't afraid to manipulate situations or people in order to get themselves ahead. We have live side by side and have business partners who are unethical, searching for loopholes, sidestepping regulations to put more money in their pockets. We live side by side with unbelieving friends who aren't afraid to put forth their worldview, their selfish nature, even sometimes their sexual immorality just out in the open. We live in side by side with unbelievers, inundated with a world that teaches us the words acceptance and tolerance, that to each his own preferences, each his own choices, to each his own God. And the danger is that the more we live in this world, the more the roots of unbelief can entangle us. So that more and more we think about the worldview rather than God's view, the more we think about what we can gain upon this earth rather than gaining the eternal kingdom of heaven. Jesus tells us to be the wheat among the weeds. For the more that we become part of this world, or the more we let this world in, the harder it is to tell whether we are the weeds or the wheat. And that's why Jesus wrote, or it's written in the scriptures, "Don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? But you have a Savior who has purchased you and won you by the shedding of his blood. Through his suffering, death, and resurrection from the dead, he has ransomed your soul. You are redeemed, restored, and you are forgiven. Through Jesus' resurrection from the dead, you have been made a new creation, no longer slaves and bound to this world, but you are free of it. And as you live in this world of unbelief, the Lord encourages us and gives us the strength to produce the fruits of righteousness for all the world to see. That every day we keep our eyes focused on the kingdom of heaven. We keep our eyes focused on the coming kingdom of heaven. For we know that there is coming a last day. A last day when the harvesters will come. And the angels of God will harvest one by one and separate souls of unbelief from those with faith. And when the harvest is over, then it is written in the scriptures, the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of God. This morning I went out and looked at my garden. And everything was green, lush, and growing. my weeds were still there. And then I thought to myself, how glad I am that I don't make my living as a gardener. My family would surely starve. But in amongst the weeds, as I looked, there still were the good plants. Sometimes when we go out into this world, all we tend to see are the weeds. All we tend to see is so much evil and ungodliness in the world around us. But the word of the Lord is still being planted and still being sown. We are the wheat among the weeds. And may the Lord give us the strength from here now till the time of eternity to plant those seeds of the gospel so that we may shine like stars for the whole world to see, bringing life and hope to such a sin-darkened world. And may God grant it ever so. Amen. And in whose name we also join in praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace.
Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Building on the Rock, produced by St. Peter's Lutheran Congregation of Fond du Lac, serving our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ since 1858. You are invited to worship with us every Sunday morning at 7:45 or 10 o'clock, or every Thursday night at 6:30. Our address is 1600 South Main Street. St. Peter's serves Jesus Little Lambs with a kindergarten through 8th grade Lutheran Elementary School and supports Winnebago Lutheran Academy. We invite you to take advantage of the many opportunities that St. Peter's provides to help you build your life on the rock-solid foundation of Jesus and His Word. For more information, call us at 922-1160 or visit us on the web at www.stpetersfdl.net. We'll be back next week with another edition of Building on the Rock. Until then, God be with you.